The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Star Wars 7x7 episode 2969. Today, the first half of a new conversation with Kevin Scott, author of many Star Wars works, including significant work on phase one of the High Republic. Punch it! Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. So here's the official bio for Kevin. Kevin is a New York Times bestselling author whose work includes novels, television, comic books, and award-winning audio dramas. He has written for a large number of high-profile series including Star Wars, Batman, Doctor Who, Assassin's Creed, Pacific Rim, Transformers, Back to the Future, Star Trek, Vikings, Adventure Time, and more. His creator-owned series include the supernatural spy thriller Shadow Service from Vault Comics and The Ward, an urban fantasy medical drama that came out this June from Dark Horse Comics. Now, I'd been having sort of a back and forth about this interview since before Star Wars Celebration, actually, and we couldn't work out a time to, you know, sit down for the longer conversation, so it's been delayed until now. And he didn't necessarily have anything directly to promote at this time, so this isn't necessarily about any particular story. However, we are going to talk about the High Republic, and we're going to talk about his writing process, too, because he is just so incredibly prolific. But if you listen carefully, you'll probably hear a little tidbit about the Phase 2 High Republic comic that he's writing, and there's even a mention of Phase 3 of the High Republic as well. So without further ado, let's dive in. This is the first half of my conversation with Kevin Scott.
Kevin Scott, thank you so much for joining me on Star Wars 7x7. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad that I get to talk with you again. It seems like it's been a while, but it's only actually been, I guess, a couple of months since Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, but you've been traveling quite a lot since then, as I've seen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the big event of the year being San Diego Comic-Con, which for comic writer creators like me is our Christmas. And obviously it was the first, the first Comic-Con for a few years for obvious reasons. So it was, it was a big moment to get back there.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad you had the opportunity to do that. And you know, as you say, you are a comic creator and a prolific one, not just for Star Wars stuff, obviously, but for so many other projects, so many other IP, and also your own work too. So I think where I want to start with you, if I may, is just to address the fact that the sheer volume of your output is just outstanding. And here on the podcast, I've often referred to you as the hardest working writer in Star Wars. So just from a functional perspective, how do you nurture your ability to find inspiration and maintain your creative production?
Well, I appreciate that. I think George Mann is trying to wrestle that title from me, as people will see. I think it's mainly, okay, I am a complete productivity nerd and always have been. So prior to doing the job I do now, I was a magazine editor for many years. And so part of that job was keeping a team en route to hitting our deadlines every sort of 19 days to churn out another magazine. And I always hated the idea of A, missing a deadline, still do to this day, and B, us having to work late to do it. So I was a complete demon when it came to calendars, to-do lists, planning, and I'm still the same to this day. So everything I do is mapped into a calendar, and every day of those things that are mapped into a calendar are then broken down into tasks. So it probably sounds the most uncreative thing possible, but I think when you've got that kind of system in place, it frees you up to be creative. So, you know, most of the time I know pretty much any point in the month what I'm working on, what days I'm working on it. So I don't have to think. I can do, there's that scene, I think in Batman Returns, where Bruce Wayne goes into his closet and he's just got lots of bat suits. And it's the same, you know, he doesn't have to think about what he's wearing that day. It's the same what Steve Jobs used to do the same. He had his version of the bat suit and he wore it every day because he didn't have to worry about what he was doing in his wardrobe. He just had to worry about the work of the day. And so that's pretty much how I try and operate while trying to keep the flexibility that obviously things change and, you know, deadlines move. And when you're working in teams, there can be other human life gets in the way. So yeah, I just am a planner and a organizer at heart. And I think that's what helps me get through. I will say that I am probably starting to take, you know, take the foot off the pedal a bit. I think the last couple of years, I did the very classic freelancer thing of going, yes, I'll say yes to everything because I had no idea what was coming next. And also a lot of things got bunched up together, which weren't actually planned to hit at the same time. So I am, yeah, in the process of perhaps doing slightly less, especially for the High Republic over the next couple of years, just because I want to be able to concentrate on the things that I am doing, that they're the best they could possibly be.
Excellent. And I can absolutely relate to what you're saying about being a productivity nerd and wanting to use those tools to make it easier for you to be able to creative when you need to be creative and not That's have it. To worry about, you know, the planning and carry that all around in your head. So may I ask you, do you have a couple of particular favorite tools that you like to use?
Yeah, I mean, I have Todoist, which is my to-do list of choice, which is has all my products listed out and everything broken down, and it's plainly simple. Things like usual stuff like Evernote, and for people who know what that is, that's a note-taking software that can go on the Mac or the PC or whatever. Mm-hmm. and just your basic Google Calendar, and between the three of those, that's what I keep myself in order with.
Excellent. Very straightforward. That's terrific. Yeah.
I've tried loads of things. I quite often get distracted with a new productivity suite quite easily. So I've trained myself to just use the basics and follow a system that works across everything.
Terrific. I like it. So with all the different things that you have been writing up until this point, and honestly, like the type of media is just outstanding. I mean, it's novels and comics, and that's across multiple age groups, and audio dramas and short stories. Is there a particular format that you like best, or one that you have particularly enjoyed a lot and can't wait to do more of?
I think comics are my happy place. It's the format where I feel most comfortable, and always have done. And, you know, and that comes through a lifetime of reading. They were how I got into reading, you know, they're how I got into Star Wars and various other things as well, by reading the comics associated with the various universes. So yeah, a day when I'm working on comics is, you know, it is always a day when I'm ready to sort of sit down and start going. I think out of all of them, novel writing is the one I find most difficult because it's obviously so different to comics. You know, comics I love because it's a team occupation. It's you're part of a creative group. Same with audio drama and TV. When it's a novel, it's just you, your editor, and a word processor. Those are the ones that that's probably what I find the most difficult and the most challenging. But the way doing the kind of job I do, and the way I try and plan my job, and the way I try and be able to cross formats, there's method to the madness in the fact that, you know, if I am working on a novel and I can find myself getting bogged down in it, I can say, right, if I've organized myself right, I can take a couple of days and I'm going to go and work on a comic, and it can free up any sort of block I have when I'm writing. So I use it as a palate cleanser as well. So especially after a long project, I usually sort of have some comics because they're quicker. You know, it sounds mm-hmm. a very simple and obvious thing to say, but, you know, it's a very fast paced writing style as well. You know, you've got you obviously have to sit and plan and pace. And again, being a planner, comics work for me because, you know, you can't write by the seats of your pants with comics. It never works. Well, it doesn't for me anyway, because it's a format that is based on structure, far more so than a lot of other formats and media, because you have to hit certain things on certain pages, and you know there's only so many things you can expect an artist to draw, and so even when that's all involved, I find it a much faster process and more fluid process. So yeah, I definitely use it as a way to relieve myself if I'm getting stressed down in one particular bigger project.
And I imagine too, in addition to the palate cleansing benefit of it, which I also totally understand, the planning process for it and, you know, the plotting process, that probably speaks a little bit to your organizational skills as well, where if you're thinking about things in advance, you're probably doing a lot of advanced structural work. So that way, when you get to the writing, I imagine that things go a lot more easily for you.
Yeah. So basically, how I work with comics is that if, for example, the High Republic phase two comic, which I'm working on at the minute, so it's a shorter run than we had from the first series, and so I know I've got those set amount of issues. I've planned it out way in advance. They, you know, everyone got a step by step. This is what happens in this issue. This happens in that issue, and then after that's gone back and forth, and everyone's, you know, put their opinion in, and I've fought back on some of them and agreed with some of them and come up with something completely new on others. I usually wait then. So for example, tomorrow I'm starting to work on a new issue. My first task of the day will be to go back to that document, see where the last issue ended, because there will be some changes from between the outline and actually writing it. Things happen. You discover different things about your characters, about your story. Think about other things that are going on in the initiative, because there may be something else happening elsewhere in the High Republic, which now it's got a bearing on the story I'm telling. Right. So I will sit down and I will go those 20 pages. I will work out what's on every page, and that's the first thing I do on those writing days. And from then, it's then a case of, yeah, you get into the script and you break it down even more into the panels. So it is various sort of different stages of planning, you know, from the wider picture through to the literally getting down to the page and to the panel itself. So I think it's probably, again, linked into my organizational habits. That's why it works so well for me. It's why, you know, and also I think quite visually in any way. I'm a mind mapper and all that kind of thing. I mean, you know, my notes are all over the place and they have doodles on it. So again, for a comic, I can see pages. I can't draw them. but as my artists know, because I quite often send them sketches, which are, I hope, will never end up in an official art book.
But I was gonna ask,
no,
are you
no.
sending stick figures?
Pretty much, yeah. Or you know, and or yeah, the comeback is I will just find things that are similar to what I'm thinking and trying to explain it. But yeah, I can sort of see pages in my mind how I imagine them to be, with the proviso that the artist is obviously the artist and they might have something that's so much better. And when you're dealing with people like Ario and Dito, that absolutely that will happen. But yeah, so again, it really links into the way my brain works, if it does work at all. And so yeah, it's absolutely my sort of my happy place, as I said.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for that. And I imagine that must mean too that somewhere in the midst of all the, you know, people working on the High Republic, that somebody also has that, you know, organization job, or multiple somebody's have that organization job for, you know, keeping track of all the moving parts and whatnot. Although maybe that's something you can't necessarily talk about. So I, you know, don't want to draw you into something.
in the case of a comic, I mean, that's the editor and the assistant editor. That is their job, you know, to make sure that everything's moving. I think everyone on the creative team takes responsibility for it as well, you know, it's a constant thing. When you're writing a comic, you're not just delivering a script and then that's it. You know, you're getting sketches back, you're getting pages back, you're giving notes on those. Then you get the colors and you give notes on those. And then you get even before it's lettered, there's usually another pass of the script to make sure that the script links with what's been drawn, or whether you can tweak the dialogue, whether it's developed over the month or whatever the time period is. So it's a fluid motion with a comic. It's not just a case of you put it in and that's your part done. The best comics I've ever worked with on are the ones where everyone's having input all the time. So yeah, the editor is in the middle of the spoke, is the, you know, the hub of all the spokes of that wheel that are spinning so fast. And I will always take my hat off. And a mark on the Star Wars comics and his team are just are great, you know, because they are dealing with so much. I mean, let's face it, the High Republic is just one part of the wider Star Wars scene, and you know, Mark's right there in the middle trying to make sure that we're all wrangling us all to try and make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing when we need to be doing it.
Yeah, and it is quite a lot. I mean, there are at least 10 different titles running at any particular moment. Of course, some of them are ongoing monthly series, and then others are just the, you know, 5-issue limited series that they're doing, yeah. And then the occasional
one shots and annuals and yeah, and backup strips, and it's a huge task.
Oh yeah, goodness. So now that phase one of the High Republic storytelling is complete, what would you say is most surprising for you in terms of the storytelling that emerged out of all those years of dreaming and planning and actual execution of the storytelling?
I think it was, well, one of the things most surprising is how people have taken it into their hearts, because we had no idea if it was going to work. You know, it was a gamble, and also it was a gamble that was taken in the middle of a, you know, an international pandemic. And so I think it was only when we got to Celebration this year and saw people, and I've talked about it online, but you know, when we had our panel and 4,000 people turned up to come to the High Republic panel, which is it's just not known. You know, that's not how book and comic panels work, especially at events like Celebration. And that was amazing to me, crazy, scary, daunting, rewarding. There's so many emotions wrapped up in that, and seeing the response of people and seeing how it's affected them, that has been something I don't think I really, or any of us had really expected, because we'd all been working on Star Wars for a while, and we know the impact that, you know, publishing has. And as I said, for me, if it wasn't for Star Wars publishing, I'm sure I would have watched Star Wars. I was, you know, a kid of the 70s, of course I'd watch Star Wars, but
right.
my introduction was the Marvel comics. You know, that was that's what hooked me before I saw the films. So I know the impact these things can have. And I've, you know, done a lot of work in children's fiction when I've worked with kids who will never read until they pick up a Star Wars book or a Batman book or whatever, because they need that hook. So I know how important that is. I didn't realize how wide ranging this was going to be, and the impact it was going to have to people, the impact it was going to have within Lucasfilm, you know, and the fact now that there are series that are connecting to it, you know, there are other things happening behind the scenes. It got so much bigger than we initially, when we stood up and announced it at Burbank, literally just prior to the first lockdown, we had no idea that everything that's happening was going to happen. And I think some of that was the response. Some of that was actually the pandemic gave us a chance to think about things and work out how can we could expand it. From a storytelling point of view, I think it sounds crazy, because actually characters are always first, and that's what you go deep in. But obviously when you're dealing with something like the High Republic, where we've got such a plan of how the story is going, and the characters obviously play a part in that, what I've been pleased with, and so this isn't a surprise, I knew we would, but I'm pleased to see it's happened, is how the characters are informing that plot. Because there was a worry that, you know, the plot would lead the characters, and you know, and that's, none of us wanted that. And the characters have taken a life of their own, and some characters are far more important than we thought they were ever going to be. For me personally, Skeer, who I loved from the moment we first discussed him, I had no idea he was going to be Q's master right at the beginning. I had no idea of how emotional his path was going to get. I had no idea I was going to be writing a father and daughter relationship at the center of Star Wars. You know, as a father of two daughters, it became incredibly important to me. On the flip side of that, on the side of, you know, on the darker side, to coin a phrase, none of us had no idea that Lorna Dee was going to be a phenomenon. You know, she was a bit part character in Charles's first novel. She was someone we thought was cool, but had no idea where she was going. And the trajectory she's now on is completely different because people responded to her. And because of things, I didn't know I'd be writing a drama, you know, audio drama based on her life or
right.
any of those things. And again, I knew she was going to be a part in the comic. I didn't realize what a big part that was going to be. So that has been the great thing about the initiative, is watching it grow both as a multimedia project and also as these bunch of characters who have become living beings for us, you know, and whose life we've invested so much in. So yeah, some of that is a surprise. Some of it is a relief but, yeah, that it's worked. But yeah, it's definitely my takeaways from it.
All right, we're going to take a pause right there, and we will pick up the conversation on tomorrow's episode. It just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this part of the conversation and this episode. As always, and may the Force be with you wherever in the world you may be.
Seven is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyright 2021 by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.